Today, we'll go to Stone Tree Golf Club in Novato, California.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week, you'll get inside information on how to lower your scores through strategy and course management. We'll ask course pros, designers, and architects to reveal their secrets in an effort to improve your game. If you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, subscribe to the Golf Smarter podcast. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for joining us. Our podcast today will head back to Northern California, just north of San Francisco, to the Stone Tree Golf Club in Novato. Our guest is the head golf professional at Stone Tree, Brian Paul. Welcome, Brian.
Thanks, Fred. Hi, everybody.
And for some location perspective, Stone Tree is situated right in between the Golden Gate Bridge and the Sonoma and Napa wine countries. So if you're headed to San Francisco for a vacation, bring your clubs, skip Pier 39 altogether, drive across the Golden Gate Bridge, take a quick stop in Sausalito for a view of the city, the best view of the city, and a latte, then go play 18 in Novato. Afterwards, head up to wine country for the rest of your trip, and you'll have a phenomenal time. Now, unless, of course, you want to head south, you can go to Pebble Beach, but we're not going to talk about that now. Brian, would you agree with me that's the way to make your trip happen?
Absolutely, no doubt.
So why don't you give me an overview of Stone Tree?
Stone Tree, in my mind, is basically a hybrid of a private club and a daily fee club. However, we're open to the public 7 days a week. And what I mean by that is we do things here that you don't find in a lot of daily fee courses. For example, we have shower facilities with day-use lockers. We have an incredible staff here that is friendly and has gotten to really get to know our customer by name. However, your first trip into the club, you'll feel like you've been there many, many times.
That's really nice. And it's an upper-end course in Marin County, and it really compares to the private courses in Marin County.
Absolutely. And one of the most special features of our golf course, Fred, is during the construction, the developers decided to go with a pretty expensive and lengthy process of sand plating, which basically means they put 12 inches of sand underneath the turf and then turfed above it. So our golf course drains exceptionally well, especially in the wintertime when a lot of the golf courses surrounding us are often even closed. We're playing the ball down and having tournaments. It's a really, really neat situation.
Who designed the course?
The golf course was designed actually by a committee. Johnny Miller and Sandy Tatum did a lot of the work, as well as Jim Summers and Fred Bliss.
Wow. Well, that's an amazing group.
Yeah. A lot of legendary figures there.
How long has the course been open?
We opened in 2000, so we're just starting our sixth season now.
Okay. And what is the general feel of the course when you're playing?
It's funny you ask that question, because it actually has a feel of a couple of different golf courses as you make your way through. The first six holes, you wind through a marshland in the Bay Meadows. It's gorgeous. It almost has a Lynx feel to it. And 7, 8, and 9 wind up into what we call the Renaissance Forest here, which is actually really, really thick, old oak trees, which is where Stone Tree gets its name. These oaks are known as hard as stone trees, and hence Stone Tree.
Is that where the name comes from?
That's where it comes from.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. Okay. Well, I'm glad I've asked. What's the length of the course?
The length of the course from the back tees measures 6,810. The black tees, which is our middle tee, which is the preference for most of our players, measures 6,295. And our forward tee is 5,232.
Is it a difficult course to play?
You know, it is. It can be. However, I think it's very fair. Everything is out there in front of you, but there's definitely some challenge there. The greens are we keep this golf course in immaculate condition, with the greens arguably being some of the best putting surfaces around in Northern California. So we can get them up pretty quick. However, I think with the length of the golf course, it's not exceptionally long. So it is scoreable, and it's the kind of golf course where after you see it once, you definitely want to get right back to the first tee and give it another go.
Well, hopefully by listening to the Golf Smarter program, you will have that advantage of knowing some of the holes that we'll discuss later, and it'll help you on those holes specifically.
Oh, I agree, and I think the holes that we're going to talk about today, Fred, are probably some of the more challenging holes when you play the golf course for the first time. So hopefully we can help some folks out when they come out to Stone Tree for their debut round.
Let me ask you about your practice facilities before we started our round.
Sure. We have a enclosed netted warm-up area with complimentary range balls to get everyone loose.
Good.
I have an incredible putting green, which matches the speed and the contour of the 18 greens you're going to experience on the golf course.
And let me stop you there, because that to me is a really important issue. I think that practice putting greens that don't reflect what's happening out in the course can really screw up your head.
Absolutely. And if I was going to design a practice green for a golf course, I would first definitely consider what you just mentioned. I would want it to absolutely represent what's actually out on the golf course. And I would also want a small section of it to have a relatively flat putt where you can actually see what's going on with your stroke before you get out there on the actual slopes. But it's really neat that they took the time to design our practice green just like the ones out on the golf course, so you can actually experience what it's like before you get out there.
Oh, that's great. And what are the average size of your greens by paces? Or
by paces, most of them are about mid-30s deep, so about 35 paces deep. They're good size.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say we have any small greens here. And they all have such a unique shape. Jim Summers, who does a lot of work with Johnny Miller, and Johnny, as you know, has very unique greens. They have a very interesting shape to them, and it's really fun to get to experience those.
So you're not going to see a lot of flat putts going on.
There's not too many flat putts out there. No, you're right. But I do think that what you see is what you get. There's nothing too tricky out here, especially with some of the renovations we've done recently to the golf course, which make it just that much more rewarding for your good shots.
So don't be surprised if you end up with a couple more three putts than you usually have.
Well, I think if you spend some time on a practice green, maybe drag one of our pros out of the shop to give you a couple of tips, I think we could probably avoid a few of those.
Okay. Well, that's fair. Should we plan on walking this course, or are we going to drive?
You can do either. Carts are included in our fee, but we do encourage walking, absolutely. This golf course has a classic feel to it. From the time you walk into the clubhouse to the time you go to the first tee, everything here is about golf. So we love to see our walkers. We have afternoon walking rates for our members, and it's not uncommon to see people walk on the golf course.
Okay. And how well is it marked if you're walking? Do you have to spend a lot of time looking for a yardage marker to know where you're going to hit?
Not at all. They took the time to measure every sprinkler head from as far back as on some holes as over 300 yards, which, Fred, I'm not sure if you need that sprinkler head, but I don't look at it too much. Anyway, all the sprinklers are marked to the center of the greens, and it's very well marked.
All right, well, let's go out to the course. Now, generally what we'll do here on Golf Smarter is we'll take the six most difficult holes on the course. But I thought we'd take something a little different this time because, you know, I've asked other head professionals about their course, and I said, is that really the hardest hole in the course? And they'll say, well, not in my opinion. So I'm going to let you dictate this. Where do you want to go first?
Well, I'd like to start out with hole number six.
Okay.
It's a par five. And the reason I've selected this hole is because the first time you play it, it's a bit challenging to find where the ideal landing spots are. And if you're without a yardage guide or without someone who's played the golf course before, I think this would be a nice tool prior to going out there and experiencing it for yourself. The hole is 540 yards from the back tees, it's par 5, 495 from the middle, and 433 from the front. And standing from any of the tees, basically it's a very sharp dogleg right. So what you see is a fairway bunker out there that's about 240 yards from the back tee. And that's a nice landmark to not necessarily aim at, but to give you some type of bearing on where to hit your tee shot. Now, with this being a relatively short par 5, it is a risk and reward situation. And with it being a dogleg right, obviously, the more you snip off that right side, the less you're going to have in. However, cutting the corner brings in a strip of native grass that is absolutely no fun to, A, search for your ball, and, B, if you find it, then try to hit it. So I recommend thinking twice about taking too much off of that right corner. If you hit your ball into the fairway, you're left with anywhere between 280 yards and maybe for a longer hitter as little as 220 yards.
You make me nervous. You said if.
Well, Fred, I know you're going to hit the ball into the fairway.
No, you don't.
I just was, you know, just in case any of our new players come out and miss the fairway, I want to try to take care of everybody here.
Are you implying that we should bring more than one sleeve of balls for this round?
We'll take care of you. We have every type of brand in our shop, and they're priced reasonably because, yeah, you might lose a couple out there your first time.
Okay.
Hopefully I can hold a few hands around this course and prevent that from happening too much.
All right, let's take our second shot here.
Okay, from the fairway, taking your second shot, there is another fairway bunker, which is approximately 120 yards from the green, and it rests on the left side of the fairway, which I think is another nice landmark, not necessarily to aim at, but I would take your ball just a tad to the right, assuming you're going to lay up. And the reason you would consider laying up is there's a creek that runs right through the middle of the fairway, and that is right about 100 yards from the green. So this is a pretty neat shot from the middle of the fairway on number five, because you have a decision to make. You can try to take it over the creek, and the landing area on the other side is pretty narrow. However, if you hit it there, you've got a real good look at making birdie. But I suggest to most players, laying back of the creek, give yourself a 120-yard shot to the green, and you'll have an excellent look, and probably not put yourself under too much risk taking that shot. To the right of the fairway, Fred, there is a marsh that starts at about 170 yards from the green and goes all the way to about 80 yards to the green. It's not something you want to entertain at all, which is another real plus for laying up on this hole with maybe a mid to long iron from the middle of the fairway. So the third shot, assuming you laid up, you have 120 yards, and there's no bunkering around the hole. So essentially, the way this hole sets up to me, it says if you can hit two good shots and keep it in the fairway, you're going to be rewarded for it because you're not going to end up in a bunker. I think the green has got a nice size. It's not too treacherous in terms of slope, and you're going to have a really good look at hitting it pretty close to the flag. Now, the longer hitters, going for this green and two is a little bit riskier, obviously because you're hitting a longer club in, three-wood to five-wood to long irons, and I don't know about you, Fred, but when I get those clubs in my hand, they get a little bit squirrely compared to having a nice pitching wedge. So I think you got to be pretty confident with those clubs to give it a go and two on number six.
Well, you know, I mean, that's the primary reason why we're here, is to promote the fact that you can score better if you golf smarter. You just,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, put your ego at the door and let's play a good round of golf by not trying to do things you know you can't do.
And, you know, there's no right and wrong way to play golf.
Right.
One of the greatest ball strikers of all time, probably the best ball striker of all time, Mo Norman, would often hit sand wedge off the tee and knock his driver on the green from the fairway. And that just proves that there really is no right and wrong answer how to do this.
Yeah, but you wouldn't recommend that to anybody.
I would not recommend that to anybody, but I would recommend thinking that way and thinking out of the box, because if you can put yourself into your own strengths, which is what almost every PGA Tour player would tell amateurs to do, I just think you have a better chance to be successful over the course of 18 holes.
Great. And the green there on number six?
Putting green slopes from front to back. Mm-hmm. Really, the first third of the green is got a pretty good slope on it. So if the hole is cut up front, I recommend hitting a little bit extra club, because it's pretty common for that ball to trickle back down, which is really great because it gives you a lot of opportunity to hit it close if that flag is cut up in the front. If it is cut in the back right, it's a little bit trickier to get it close because the green is a bit more narrow that way. The green basically sits diagonally from left to right, with left being closest to the fairway, and it gets a little bit narrow on that back right pin placement, and it's definitely harder to see from the fairway. But again, really, there's not, I don't see too much risk here three putting if you got a pretty good touch on the ball that day.
Great. Let's head over to, we've only got 7, 8, and 9 left. You get to pick the two that you want to do on this front nine. Where do we want to go next?
Well, I'd like to go right across the road to number 7.
Okay.
We're really excited about this hole because we recently renovated it, along with a couple of other holes on the back nine that we'll get to later. Number 7 is a short par 4. It's 358 yards from the back tee, 331 from the middle and 238 from the forward tee. It's a severe dogleg right, and you have a little bit of a lake. Well, it's actually a big lake on the left, but it only comes into play for a pretty nasty hook from a right-hander, which I've seen a few times, actually this morning, to be honest with you. And both of those gentlemen that I saw today were both hitting what it looked like to be drivers, which had they listened to this podcast, they would have known that that probably isn't the right selection these days, especially with what we've done with this green, which has just been an extremely, extremely positive change.
Why did you make the change?
Well, what we found was the original design had a very severe false front in the front left of the green. And basically, it made a large portion of this putting surface unusable. In other words, a golf ball wouldn't stay on it. It would essentially trickle all the way back, sometimes 40 yards down the fairway. And these shots aren't necessarily bad that are coming in there.
And you're going uphill to that green, aren't you?
Thank you for reminding me. It's sometimes up to 3 clubs more approaching this green from the fairway, depending on how far back down there you are.
Wow.
So there's also a light breeze that typically runs through this valley. This hole was built on what used to be an old rock quarry. So it's a neat little valley where this hole kind of runs up, and there's a breeze that runs down into your face, and you can't feel it that much, but it really does affect your ball, and it also puts a little bit more spin on it. So if your ball in the past landed anywhere on that front third of the green, it would just come screaming back down the hill, and you would have the impression when the ball was in the air that you hit a good shot, and as you're getting into your cart and driving up the path, you realize you can see your ball rolling back at you. It was pretty frustrating. So to sum up our renovation philosophy in one sentence, we wanted our players to be rewarded for their good shots.
We weren't
sure that was the case the way the green was prior to the renovation.
Well, we appreciate that.
So what we did was we pulled that false front up, and I wouldn't say leveled the front of the green. There is a little bit of pitch to it still, but it's great. Balls actually hold on that front part of the green, even if you're a little bit short. They don't come firing back down the hill at you, which is so much more appreciated by our players. In addition, we've also taken out some really, really deep rough that used to surround the backs of the back of the green and made a nice, tightly mown collection area there, which you can actually putt onto the green, which used to be one of the harder shots on the golf course, and now it's an exciting shot. It's actually one that you can get excited about versus one that you're really not interested in hitting.
Okay. All right. Now you want to head to 8 or 9 next?
Let's go to 9.
Okay.
I think 9 is...
8's a par 3. We're going to skip that and go over to the par 4 next, right?
And I hate to skip 8 because it's a great, great par 3, but I think 9 would be much more helpful to our listeners because it is such a challenging hole. And on the topic of course management, there's a dozen ways to play this hole.
Great.
But in my opinion, there's one way for 80% of our players to do it.
It's also the number one handicap hole on the course.
Yeah, and there's plenty of reasons for that. you've been up there. You know what I mean, Fred. When you stand on the ninth tee, it's a very elevated tee. You've got a lake on the right and trees right of the lake, and then forest all the way down the left side. Looks pretty intimidating, but it's actually a little bit wider than I think it appears from the tee. Some players are tempted to try to hit it over the lake on the right, which I see about 1 out of 20 people succeeding in doing. So my recommendation is to pick a club that you're comfortable hitting. Don't get hung up on hitting this green in 2 necessarily if you're not a super long, super straight hitter, which is a big problem, I believe, for a lot of amateurs. They get on these par 4s, these long par 4s, and they feel like they have to give it a go and hit this green in 2 regardless. I think you would have so much more success and probably make more pars by being okay with hitting a mid-iron on your second shot on these tight holes. And give it a go from 50 yards away and try to get up and down.
That's real good advice.
Yeah, and no, you never see anybody do this unless you're watching TV because the tour pros, they do this themselves. If they're not comfortable with hitting a long shot with a lot of trouble around it, David Toms is a perfect example. The 72nd hole at the PGA Championship he won, he laid up from a relatively short distance for a PGA Tour player, knowing that he had to get up and down for par to win a major, and he did it. And that was really inspiring to me, and it just expanded my theory that players should really dial in these shots inside 100 yards and then start catering to that when they're playing their ball around the course.
Fabulous.
So anyway, let's say, Fred, you hit your ball in the middle of the fairway, which typically you would. You're going to have anywhere from 200 to 150 yards to the green. Your second shot now, you are going to have a lake all the way down the left side. On the right is forest and out of bounds beyond that, so it's very tight, and there's a pretty large bunker protecting the front left of the green. So this is a shot that I recommend you spending some time thinking about what do I really have, what am I really capable of here in realistic terms. And if you're confident, give it a go. If you're not, I strongly recommend looking at that really fat landing area that you have in front of the green and taking advantage of it.
Can I stop you for a second?
Yeah.
Because you said something that intrigued me.
Okay.
Which was, take a moment and look at the hole first. And, you know, it makes me think about the times that I play, and I'm, of course, I'm guilty of this, and I see a lot of people guilty of this. They look at the scorecard and decide what club they're going to pull.
Sure.
And it's like, you really do have to take a look at the hole and decide how you want to play this before.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, that, and another point I was trying to drive home and is try to realistically look yourself in the mirror and decide how often, how many times out of 10 am I going to pull this shot off, given the trouble that lurks all around, and then decide what club you're going to hit, because so many people think about that one great 3-iron they hit, you know, a year ago and think it's going to happen again right now when that was an anomaly. And people just don't like to really think about themselves that way, but I think it's important to be very honest with yourself on the golf course, and you end up shooting better scores at the end of the day as a result.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. Are we done with nine? I don't think we finished.
No, we got to get up to the green.
Yeah, let's get to the green, man. Because I'm getting hungry. I want to stop for a break.
Good, good. So, second shot, again, it's going to be anywhere from 220 to maybe 150. I recommend most players, if you're on the closer to the 200 side, to lay back a little bit from the green and give yourself a nice look and a nice pitch at it. This hole is, there's nothing to be ashamed of if you make bogey. I think it's actually a good goal for a player of a 20 handicap or higher. And it's a tough hole. This is the number one handicap hole, and those are the holes on the scorecard where you should be a little bit more humble. This green also has quite a bit of contour, which can cause you some problems. So, again, I really recommend being very careful with this hole on all of your shots. Get out of there with your par or bogey and go over to the 10th hole with a nice hot dog in your hand.
Okay, now is there a chance to grab a hot dog after number 9?
Yeah, you bet. We have outside concessions right at the clubhouse. And, in fact, you come by our clubhouse 3 times during an 18-hole round, which is really convenient because you can stop, get some food, use the restrooms, load up on balls, which hopefully you don't have to do, but we've tried to make it pretty easy for everybody.
Okay. All right, let's take a short break, and we'll come back for the back nine.
Okay.
As we make the turn, we want you to know that we're taking requests. If you'd like us to feature a specific course on Golf Smarter, our email address is golfsmarter@teetour.com. That's Golf Smarter, one word, at TEETOUR.com. Whether you're planning a golf vacation, playing in an upcoming tournament, or have a favorite course for which you have a question, please let us know and we'll do a show just for you. Again, here's your host for Golf Smarter, Fred Green.
Again, we're with Brian Paul, who's the head golf professional at Novato's Stone Tree Golf Club. And before we hit the back nine, Brian, I've usually found that different courses, and especially different areas, require different skills and shots on the course. So before we book a time at Stone Tree, what shots would you recommend that we practice that'll improve our round there?
That's a really good question, Fred. Really, you're going to probably hit every club in your bag when you come out to Stone Tree. I probably hit a few more long irons than I do at most golf courses when I play here. I also hit a few more bump and runs, which is a shot that I love to hit. The reason is we have a lot of really, really well-manicured approach areas, which are hand-mown every day. They're lower than our fairways, which our fairways are very tight and very, very short. So I rather than take a wedge out there on those tight lies. I tend to hit a lot of 8-iron, a lot of 6-iron bump and runs at Stone Tree, and that's a shot I just see very underutilized by a lot of amateurs. So I might hit a few of those before coming out here. I would also try to hit a few bunker shots. We got some sand out here as well.
Okay, great. Well, that's always really important to know when you're going to play a course that you haven't played before. What am I going to have to pull out of my bag today?
Sure, you're going to pull them all out of your bag.
All right. So where do you want to go now? We're on the back nine. There's 9 holes there.
Yeah, let's go right up to 14,
okay,
which is the start of the 3 holes that I unofficially call our Amen Corner when I'm playing the golf course.
Amen.
14 is another hole that we've recently renovated. It had a similar green to hole 7, which we spoke about earlier. It had a very severe false front in the front of the green, which did not hold golf balls, and they could often come trickling down the fairway. And some of these shots were good shots, and the players just weren't rewarded for it. So we listened to our customer. We went out there, and we made some changes, and we pulled that false front up and leveled it just a bit. So now balls land on the front of the green. They're there when you get up there. It's excellent. We're thrilled about the renovation on 14.
Great.
So from the tee, 14's a par 5, 491 yards from the back tee, 472 from the middle, 431 from the forward, and we actually have another set of tees on 14, which plays 400 yards, which we often rotate day to day. Standing on the tee, it is actually a elevated tee to the fairway. However, uniquely, the green is above the tee. So essentially, you hit downhill and then straight uphill, which is really fun. It's a very tight driving hole, and this is a risk and reward hole. It's a pretty short par 5, and I know a lot of players, not being here and seeing it, but hearing it over a podcast, probably licking their chops at a 491-yard par 5 from the back tees. Well,
especially when you're hitting from above the fairway.
Yeah, absolutely. It just doesn't quite play that way. The second and third shot is very uphill, and it's a lot more club to get there. Starting with the tee shot, I like to favor the right side a little bit, not because it's a good angle, but because I'm afraid of the out of bounds on the left. That's my own psychological problem. However, I think it is a good advice for pretty much everybody because the fairway does pull out a bit in the right side. What that does do is it blocks your view of the green a little bit, but since the renovation, we've minimized a couple of the greenside bunkers that used to take up almost all of the landing area in front of the green, and now we've created a spot for players who do have a blind shot to actually land their ball in a fairway or perhaps even the approach and have a nice look at hitting the green at 3. I'm a pretty greedy player on par 5, so I always go for these in 2. And this is a really, really fun shot, especially since the renovation's been complete. Again, it's basically straight uphill. I typically take about 3 extra clubs when I'm in the 220 to 230 area and just let it rip. The worst thing that could probably happen to you is hitting it over the green because it does go pretty much straight down. But since the renovation, we did address that issue and sort of built up the back of the green to hold a little bit more shots onto the surface or just off. For most players, for the average player, I recommend hitting the fairway or hitting even a 5-wood or 3-wood to get a little more control on the ball off the tee. Again, it is pretty tight, and I see a lot of balls go over the trees left out of bounds. Favor the right side a little bit. Your second shot, I recommend trying to find the 81 to 62-yard sprinkler heads that we have marked on our yardage guide and make that your target. That's what I would call position A for most players. And that should give you a nice little wedge up into the green, which is now a very accessible putting surface.
Mm. And you have a new putting surface?
It's brand new. We redesigned and rebuilt the entire green. In addition to the false front that was in front of the green, there were some pretty severe knobs, which really, really made it difficult for us to change the hole every day. We didn't have a lot of hole locations that were really fair to work around some of the slope on this hole. So it was leveled a little bit. It still has a challenge. It still does break. But now I think you get on the green and you have the feeling that you could make a 30-footer if you put a good stroke on it, which is really exciting, and that just really wasn't the case in the past.
Yeah, I know in the past I've I had my own complaints of if you hit it to the front of the green, it's going to roll back, and if you hit it to the back, then it's going to bounce off the back.
It definitely doesn't roll back off the green. The green now is sloped from front to back.
Correct.
Where, just like you said, Fred, in the past, it was severely sloped in the front. The middle was a little bit sloping downhill, and then once you got over that crest, it sloped straight back, and that was a real complaint that we got from a lot of our regular players here, and we took that to heart, and we went out there and fixed it.
Awesome. Awesome. And it's the number 10 handicap hole, so it's, you know, middle difficulty for the course, but it's better than it was, which
sure.
is really great.
It is, and it's a classic risk and reward. I think that's why it ends up being 10, because it's going to yield some birdies, it's going to yield some eagles, but if you don't give it the respect it deserves, you're going to make a big number.
Yeah, right. Where are we going next?
Let's go to the next hole, 15.
All righty. What's our target?
Yeah, this might be my favorite hole. It's a really tough par 4, 460 yards from the back tees, 430 from the middle, 406 from the forward. It's a dogleg right. Has trees, forested trees on both sides of the fairway. It's just beautiful. It's a downhill tee shot, and what's really fun for me on this hole is there's a slope on the left side of the fairway and up the hill and the rough even, that if you hit the ball far enough and you hit it in the right spot, it goes down the chute, and it ends up giving you another 40 yards or so of roll. So you end up turning this 460-yard hole into a potentially birdie hole with an excellent tee shot. However, at the same time, if you don't make it down that slope, you end up with, most players end up with, you know, anywhere from 240 to 200 yards, and this second shot is no joke. It is tight, and there's not a lot of room to run it up. It's right at you. It's very difficult, and it's very fun. So I recommend this hole, just like number 9. It's not necessary to hit the screen in 2 if you don't make it down that slope and you got 200-plus yards. Take a look at that landing area that's in front of the green. You can access the flag stick from pretty much anywhere in that landing area, and I strongly recommend hitting a mid to short iron somewhere in the fairway and then pitching it up, giving it a run at par. If not, get your bogey and go to 16.
All right, let's do it.
So 16, par 5, the third and final hole that experienced a renovation recently. Gorgeous hole going back towards the valley, but still coming out of the forest. This was a pretty popular spot in what was once the Renaissance Fair that was held here in Marin County for many years, which a lot of our players like to reminisce when they get there. Very nice view of Mount Tam as you get closer to the green, but 515 yards from the back tee, 494 from the middle, and 450 from the forward tee. Very tight-looking hole off the tee. However, with our new renovation, it's not as devious as it appears. We've actually expanded the fairway a bit on the right side where a lot of balls were coming down. And if you remember last time you were here, Fred, there were some swales on the right side with just maybe the longest rough in the county. And finding your ball would be an absolute victory in that situation, and hitting it would be out of the question. So what we've done, we've smoothed out the terrain a bit there and expanded it, the fairway, almost all the way to the path. So you can actually lose it a little bit right. You'll definitely find your ball, definitely be able to hit it, and actually might have a decent shot at advancing your ball down the fairway. It's something we're really, really excited about, and we think this is going to definitely improve our pace of play and also improve the general enjoyment by all our players. So experience that new right side of the fairway next time you come out, especially for anybody that hits it a little left or right. I know there's a few of you out there. This hole's setting up nicely for you now, where in the past it really didn't.
So, I know the times that I've played there, I have not had much success on this hole, but always enjoyed it.
Yeah, and this hole, I like to think of it as a triangle. It basically now is pretty generous from the tee and gets narrow and narrow and narrow as we go. When you get to your tee shot, you're going to be anywhere from 300 to long hitters can get it out to 200 yards from the green, which is definitely a decision time, but I recommend most players, just like I always do, should probably consider laying up. Golf is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You're not going to win your match on this one shot. You have to add them up all at the end of the day, and I think the smarter you play, the better you're going to like the addition at the end of the round. So I recommend for most players definitely laying back a little bit on this hole. It is pretty narrow. It's going to be a challenging shot regardless, but when you get a shorter mid-iron in your hand, it's just a little bit more comfy hitting that shot. From 160 yards into the green, it is a marsh all the way on the left side. It's actually a beautiful marsh in the middle of the forest, but it's not so beautiful when you see your ball trickle off the rock wall, and it's a great view. It's probably 15-foot drop into the pond off of the fairway, which is something I don't recommend. However, there isn't a lot of room on the right, so this is a demanding shot. And you see what you have to do, and it's telling you what you have to do. It's up to you to go out there and do it. So, again, I recommend hitting a mid-iron, maybe a long iron, lay up, and then you're going to have a nice look at the green with a wedge or something.
Great. This is definitely the kind of course that a T-Tour video would help, so that we, before you go out to the course the first time, if you had all the golf perspective, the golfer's perspective view of each hole, it would definitely lower your score, don't you think?
Yeah, I bet it would.
I hope we get to do that soon. That would be a lot of fun. So now that we've finished this round, this is not the kind of golf course you want to just pack your bag and get out of town and head up to wine country, because you guys have a really nice clubhouse.
Yeah, we're really proud of it, and it's definitely becoming an attraction here in the Bay Area. We've done just unbelievable weddings here,
I've been to a number of them myself.
Have you really?
Yeah, two of my nieces, both a year from each other, both got married at Stone Tree.
That is great, and it's very difficult to book a wedding at this point because it is becoming so popular. The food is outstanding upstairs in the mm-hmm. clubhouse. Again, we offer locker room services, which is pretty uncommon in daily fee golf, and we have an incredible golf shop with just an unbelievably accommodating staff.
And I don't know if I should talk about this, but when I was visiting recently, I saw some Titleist golf caps in there that had the San Francisco Giants logo on
it. I ordered those, Fred. I'm one of the biggest Giants fans in California.
Well, that's the end of this conversation right here, since I'm an A's fan. We're going to...
Actually, Fred, you didn't look close enough, because I ordered A's just to battle this conversation. They're in there somewhere.
All right, I'm heading up there.
All right.
I want to see that. Now, I want to book a tee time. What's the best way to do it? Should we go onto the website? Tell me about your website.
Tons of ways to do it. Our website is stonetreegolf.com. You can book tee times 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can call our friendly golf shop at any time as well and make your tee time. And we're waiting for you.
What number should we call?
Oh, I'm sorry, 415-209-6090.
That's great. Brian, thanks so much for the help on the round.
I've enjoyed it, Fred. Come on out and play.
Oh, you know I will. It's Brian Paul, head golf professional at Stone Tree Golf, Novato, California. And when you do book a tee time, tell the guys in the pro shop that you heard about Stone Tree on the Golf Smarter podcast and introduce yourself to Brian. He'll give you a little bit more tour of the holes that you need to know more about. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Okay, great. I want to thank those of you who've been listening to the show and also have been leaving feedback on iTunes. It's quite flattering to offer information that is appreciated. And as we've discussed in the past couple of weeks, we're also looking for ways to offer gifts and prizes to our regular listeners. So we're taking a survey to learn more about you. It won't take long, and it is anonymous. So please visit ttour.com. That's TEETOUR.com. Where you'll find the listener survey link right on the podcast page. And please tell your friends about the information that you've learned about on Golf Smarter. Write reviews about us wherever you subscribe. And any questions or comments should be sent directly to me at golfsmarter@ttour.com. Once again, I hope we've helped you to understand that when you know the course, you do lower your score. It's always more fun to play when you golf smarter. Thanks for joining us. I'm Fred Green.